Emerald City of Oz, Professor Wogglebug. It did not take Dorothy long to establish herself in her new home. She already knew the people and the manners and customs of the Emerald City just as well as she knew the old Kansas farm. But Uncle Henry and Aunt Em had some trouble getting used to the finery and pomp and ceremony of Ozma's palace, and felt uneasy because they were obliged to be dressed up all the time. Everyone was very courteous and kind to them and tried hard to make them happy. Ozma, especially, tried hard, and she was confident the awkwardness and strangeness of their new world would wear off in time. The old people were chiefly troubled by the fact there was no work for them to do. "Every day is like Sunday now," declared Aunt Em, "and I can't say I like it. If they'd only let me do the dishes after meals, or even sweep and dust my own rooms, I would be happy. Henry doesn't know what to do with himself either. He tried to feed the chickens, and Billina scolded him for allowing them to eat between meals. I never thought it would be hard to be rich and have everything you want." These complaints began to worry Dorothy, so she had a long talk with Ozma on the subject. "I must find them something to do," said the beautiful ruler of Oz seriously. "I've been watching your aunt and uncle, and I believe they will be happier if occupied with some light tasks. While I am considering this matter, Dorothy, you might take a trip with them through the Land of Oz to visit some of the odd corners and introduce your relatives to some of our curious people." "Oh, that sounds great," exclaimed Dorothy eagerly. "I will give you an escort befitting your rank as a princess," continued Ozma, "and you may go to some of the places you have not yet visited yourself, as well as some others that you know. I will outline a planned trip for you and have everything ready for you to start tomorrow morning. Take your time and travel as long as you want. By the time you return, I will have some things for Uncle Henry and Aunt Em to do that will keep them from being restless and dissatisfied." Dorothy thanked her good friend and kissed the lovely ruler gratefully. Then she ran to tell the great news to her aunt and uncle. The next morning after breakfast, everything was ready for their departure. The escort included Omby Amby, the great general of Ozma's army, which consisted merely of 27 officers, besides the captain general. Once Omby Amby had been a private soldier, the only private in the army. But as there was never any fighting to do, Ozma saw no need of a private, so she made Omby Amby the highest officer of them all. He was very tall and slim, with a thin mustache. The mustache was the only fierce thing about Omby Amby, whose nature was as gentle as a child. The wonderful wizard had asked to join the party, and with him came his friend the Shaggy Man, who was shaggy in a clean way, being dressed in fine silks and satin. The Shaggy Man had shaggy whiskers and hair, and a sweet disposition with a soft, pleasant voice. There was an open wagon with three seats for the passengers, and the wagon was drawn by the famous wooden horse, which had once been brought to life by Ozma by means of magic powder. The horse wore golden shoes to keep his wooden legs from wearing away, and he was strong and swift. As this curious creature was Ozma's own favorite steed, and very popular with all of the people of the Emerald City, Dorothy knew that she had been highly favored by being permitted to use the horse on her journey. In the front seat of the wagon sat Dorothy and the wizard. Uncle Henry and Aunt Em sat in the next seat, and the Shaggy Man and Omby Amby in the third seat. Of course, Toto was with the party, curled up at Dorothy's feet. And just as they were about to start, Billina came fluttering along the path and begged to be taken with them. Dorothy readily agreed, so the yellow hen flew up and perched herself upon the dashboard. She wore her pearl necklace and three bracelets on each leg. Dorothy kissed Ozma goodbye, and all the people standing around waved their handkerchiefs, and the band in an upper balcony struck up a military march song. Then the wizard clucked to the horse and said, "Giddy up," and the wooden animal pranced away and drew behind him the big red wagon and all the passengers, without any effort at all. A servant opened the gate of the palace, and off they went. "It's like a circus," said Aunt Em proudly. As they passed down the street, all the people cheered and waved. The Shaggy Man, the Wizard, and the Captain General all took off their hats and bowed. When they came to the wall of the Emerald City, the gates were opened by the Guardian, who always tended them. Over the gateway hung a dull-colored magnet, shaped like a horseshoe, placed against a shield of polished gold. "That," said the Shaggy Man impressively, "is the wonderful Love Magnet. I brought it to the Emerald City myself, and all who pass beneath this gateway are loved." "It is a fine thing," declared Aunt Em, admiringly. "If we had it in Kansas, I guess the man who held our mortgage on the farm wouldn't have booted us out." "Then I'm glad we didn't have it," returned Uncle Henry. "I like Oz now, better than Kansas. For example, just look at that wooden horse pulling us. Can he talk, Dorothy?" "Yes, Uncle," replied Dorothy, "but he never says much. He told me once he can't talk and think at the same time, so he prefers to think." "That makes sense," declared the wizard, nodding approvingly. "Which way do we go, Dorothy?" "Straight ahead," she answered. "We're going to meet Miss Cuttenclip." "Oh," exclaimed the wizard, interested. "Are we going there? Then I'm glad I came. I've always wanted to meet the Cuttenclips." "Who are they?" inquired Aunt Em. "Wait until we get there," replied Dorothy with a laugh. "Then you can see for yourself. I've never seen Cuttenclips, so this is a first for me, too." Once free of the Emerald City, the horse dashed away at a tremendous speed. He went so fast that Aunt Em had to catch her breath, and Uncle Henry gripped the seat of the red wagon. "Easy, easy," called the wizard, and at this the horse eased up his speed. "What's wrong?" asked the horse, slightly turning his wooden head to look at the party with one eye, which was a knot of wood. "We want to admire the scenery, that's all," answered the wizard. "Some of us," added the Shaggy Man, "have never been out of the Emerald City, and this country is all new to them." "There's no hurry," said Dorothy. "Very well, it is all the same to me," observed the horse, and after that he went at a more moderate pace. Uncle Henry was astonished. "How can a wooden thing be so intelligent?" he asked. "I gave him some sawdust brains," explained the wizard. "I see," said Uncle Henry. "I don't," remarked Aunt Em, but no one said anything more. Before long, they came to a stately building that stood upon a green plain with handsome shade trees grouped here and there. "What is that?" asked Uncle Henry. "That," replied the wizard, "is the Royal Athletic College of Oz, which is directed by Professor Wogglebug." "Let's stop and say hi," suggested Dorothy. The horse pulled up to the great building, and they were met at the door by Wogglebug himself. He was as tall as the wizard, and was dressed in a red and white checkered vest, blue coat, yellow shorts, and purple silk socks pulled all the way up to his skinny knees. He wore a tall hat on his head and round spectacles over his bright eyes. "Welcome, Dorothy," said Wogglebug, "and welcome to all your friends. We are indeed pleased to receive you at this great temple of learning." "I thought it was an athletic college," said the Shaggy Man. "It is, my dear sir," answered Wogglebug proudly. "Here we teach the youth of our great land scientific college athletics in all their purity." "What else do you teach?" asked Dorothy. "Do they learn reading, writing, and math?" "Oh yes, of course. They learn all those and more," answered Professor. "But such things occupy little of their time. Please, follow me and I will show you how my scholars are usually occupied. This is a class hour and they are all busy." they followed him to a big field in the back of the college, where several hundred young Ozites were at their classes. They played football, baseball, tennis, and golf. Some were swimming in a big pool. A river wound through the grounds, and several teams and racing boats were rowing with great energy. Other groups of students played basketball and cricket, and a ring was roped for boxing and wrestling. All the students seemed busy, and there was laughter and shouting. "This college," said Professor Woggabug, confidently, "is a great success. The educational value is undisputed, and we are graduating many great and valuable citizens every year." "But when do they study?" asked Dorothy. "Study?" said Wogglebug, looking perplexed at the question. "Yes, when do they study math, geography, and such things?" "Oh, they take doses of those every night and morning," was the answer. "What do you mean, doses?" Dorothy inquired wonderingly. "We use the newly invented school pills, made by your friend here, the wizard. Research has proved these pills are very effective, and they save a lot of time and energy. Please, step this way. I will show you our laboratory of learning." He led them to a room in the building where many large bottles were standing in rows upon shelves. "These are the algebra pills," said the professor, taking down one of the bottles. "One at night, before bed, is equal to 4 hours of study. Here are the geography pills. You take one at night and one in the morning. In this next bottle are the math pills. Take one 3 times a day. Then we have the English pills, one before each meal, and the science pills, which you can take when needed." "The students take a lot of pills," commented Dorothy. "How do they take them? With a glass of water?" "Oh no, they are sugar-coated and are easily chewed and swallowed. I think the students would rather take the pills than study. This is a much more effective method. You see, until these school pills were invented, we wasted a lot of time sitting around in class. Now, our time is spent on the field practicing athletics." "Seems to me the pills are a good thing," said Omby Amby, who remembered how it used to make his head hurt studying math. "Yes, sir," responded the professor with confidence. "They give us an advantage over all other schools." "It's a great invention, to be sure," said Dorothy, looking respectfully at the wizard, who blushed at this praise. "We live in an age of progress," announced Professor Wogglebug. "It is easier to swallow knowledge than to acquire it from books." "Some folks can swallow anything," said Aunt Em. "It seems like good medicine." They said goodbye to the professor, thanking him for his kind reception. They loaded into the red wagon and continued the journey.